Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this day that he has given us, this third Sunday of Easter. The service is before you. We follow that today. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Saint Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit to the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Certain phrases spark a memory. even a flood of memories sometimes when you hear them. The memories can be so strong that you remember every detail of the moment when you heard the words. Phrases like, "Houston, we have a problem," or "a plane has hit the World Trade Center." For St. John, the phrase was, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." He immediately recognized the speaker when the net is full to bursting. "It is the Lord," he cried. St. John recognizes his Lord by what he says. He remembers another time when they were told to lower their nets just once more after a night of unsuccessful fishing. Then, as now, the results are miraculous. When the disciples struggled ashore with their net-bursting load of 153 fish, somebody had to keep score, Jesus is there with breakfast ready and waiting. The Redeemer of the world takes the time to make breakfast for his hungry disciples. And as they gather around the charcoal fire, none of them dares to ask, "Who are you?" because they already knew who he was. That's worth noting. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord, St. John says. Still, there's something different about Jesus' appearance after the resurrection. He wasn't always immediately recognizable. Mary didn't recognize him at the tomb. The disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't recognize him right away either. Even here, it seems that it's the miracle, not seeing him, which identifies the man on the beach as the risen Lord. So why the change? Why the uncertainty? Is there a purpose behind his masked identity? Undoubtedly. It goes back to his first great catch of fish recorded earlier in the Gospels. Because after that miraculous catch, Jesus told the 12 about their career change. From now on, they would be fishers of men. But look what happened. They had already gone back to what they knew, back to their old jobs. It's this post-resurrection miracle on the shores of the Sea of Galilee that brings back their original charge to go and tell others of the kingdom. That is still their task. That is their primary concern. Because Jesus was no longer with them every day, but only appears occasionally for 40 days, they need the reassurance that the important task before them is realistic. Jesus has given them the tools needed for their work. He gave them his word, that which transforms the hearts of men. He gave them his own authority to forgive sins, as we heard last week, and he gave them the certainty of his presence with them. Now, would that presence always be immediately recognizable in their lives? No. They wouldn't always spot him immediately. But the blessing of their work would be found in the fact that they were called to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus himself said that to Thomas last week, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Nothing's changed since then. The Father still calls his people. He still gives his word, which extends the gracious invitation to believe. And forgiveness is within our responsibility for the healing of troubled hearts. All of the tools are still here, along with the fleeting glimpses we have of the Christ moving and working in our daily lives. Because yes, he is here among us. Because wherever his gifts are given, his word and his sacraments, there the Lord is present. In every Christian church where the word is preached in its truth and purity, where the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution, there you will find the Lord Jesus. from one congregation to the next. Each pastor may be different, but in every case, where the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed, where it's offered through word and sacrament, we can say with full and complete recognition, it is the Lord. Now, it might not be clear at first, but the conversion of Saul was accomplished not on the road to Damascus, but at the house of a man named Judas, at the hands of Ananias through holy baptism. That's how Saul, the great persecutor of the Christian church, was filled with the Holy Spirit and became St. Paul, apostle and missionary. Ananias may have been the one who applied the water and said the words, but it was our Lord Jesus who did the converting. The risen Christ is the source of the action. Without him, the disciples couldn't catch a single fish. Without him, Ananias wouldn't have had success with Saul. Without his speaking, faith cannot be produced in anyone. So that's how you're able to recognize Jesus today. The Lord is present where his miracles take place, and there are no more spectacular miracles in all the world than those in which people who are dead in sin are made alive in the Spirit and brought to saving faith. It's the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is here with us to give you the gifts of his grace. Jesus, our risen Lord, is here. And that's why our worship services are a bit more formal and maybe a little bit more reverent than in some other churches. Because we come here and gather in awe and in humility, with respect and with honor for the one who blesses us with his gifts of life. But it's not only here that we experience this reverence for our Lord. Because the same Lord who provided breakfast for his disciples on the beach provides every meal that you enjoy throughout all of your days too. Every moment of every day, our Lord continues to provide for you after his resurrection, just as he did for his disciples, just as he did before his death. So how else can we explain it except by saying that it is a miracle that Almighty God can give us his good and perfect gifts to people as undeserving as us? It is the Lord in the Word. It is the Lord in the water. It is the Lord in bread and wine. It is your good and gracious Lord who is active in every aspect of your lives. His open hand is there to fill your empty stomach. His peace and love are there to fill your empty hearts. It is the Lord who confirms his presence with you in so many ways, which so often go unnoticed. But it is the Lord nonetheless. So as you go about your everyday lives, may the Holy Spirit touch your thoughts in such a way as to trigger a faithful memory in your mind too. May you be reminded of God's love for you through his Son, who has promised to be with you always to the end of the age. And may your recognition be immediate, as St. John's was. It is the Lord whom you see through his blessings and gifts now, but one day, with the four living creatures, with the elders, and with the myriads and myriads and thousands, then face to face. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.